This is Solidarity Journal. Share in a common voice. Just might find your own.
To think that this was John Doe.
It's like the argument about the argument in
part. It's Tuesday, December 27th, and you're listening to Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's one and only Pacifica radio affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo. On today's show, I speak with a couple people from Occupy Springfield and what actions and suggestions they have on the Occupy movement. Also, we'll hear more about the sidewalk chalking incident, oddly enough, which involved two protesters getting in trouble with the police. So stay tuned to Solidarity Journal on the front lines of radio resistance. Listening to Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's one and only Pacifica radio affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo. This past week, I traveled down to Springfield, Illinois, and sat in during Occupy Springfield GA. The GA was meeting in a lounge room at the local AFSCME building. The room filled up with 17 to 20 people discussing Occupy. Some sat at a round table, others scattered throughout the room, writing down notes, listening intently. During their GA, discussions about money donations and where to keep the money came up, along with deciding what certain direct actions would be more effective in regards to gathering public support. Later, I spoke to a couple individuals in the movement, and one of those individuals was AJ, a longtime political activist and organizer. I asked him what the key focuses were for Occupy for the upcoming winter months.
Well, I've been involved in politics and activism since the late 90s. I worked with the Democrat Party. I'm currently working with the Green Party as a leader in Illinois and as a national level. I've been all over the Midwest and part of the South with my activism. This movement, the Occupy movement, is the first organization that I have been involved with that people can come together as a collective in trying to get stuff done, you know, and things are done organically. You know, the first person I talked to down here when I moved to Springfield was Drew, and Drew put me in tune with the Occupy movement, and ever since then, I was just been impressed on how well the General Assemblies, the GAs have been going, how the organic work groups have been going. And this is the first time that when we say we get stuff done, we get stuff done. So I think this is the first movement in the 21st century that people need to be in tune with, because this is going to be in the history books, you know, not only for high school, but for colleges, you know, and this movement is going to stay. You know, this might be a 10-year movement. It could be a 20-year movement, but we all need to network together as one movement, you know, I mean. People in St. Louis need to be in tune with what we're doing with. We need to be in tune with what Chicago's doing. Chicago needs to be in tune with what Wall Street's doing. Even though we are leaderless, which is fine. I'm glad we're leaderless. But we all need to network together to be one movement, not just individual movements. So I'm just going to say, I think the only critique I have is networking is vitally important. You know, with my 12 years in being politics and activism, network is the key. We need to talk to each other because this is, again, one movement.
AJ spoke about how the Occupy Springfield is evolving and how it's feeling out what it needs to be done when pressuring politics.
Well, I mean, and with any social movement, you're always going to be pissed off with someone. And that's, like I said, that's the name of the game. Yeah. You know, you have to roll with the punches. You know, we're an apolitical group, but I'm sure back in the civil rights movement, they had to go through the same thing we're going through. Back with the counterculture movement, with Abby Hoffman and all of them, they had to go through the same thing. We're just doing that same motions, you know. We're trying to feel out what we can do, what we can't do, try to play the political game just a little bit. You know, we have some aldermen here in Springfield who are sympathetic to us, are willing to listen to us. In fact, we also have people here at the Capitol, LaShawn Ford out of Chicago, put forth a resolution to say, you know, the Occupy movement is here, give them their First Amendment right. So there are people both here in the city of Springfield and the state of Illinois who are in tune to what we believe in, but, you know, like I said, we're just going through the same motions as everyone else. You in Peoria are probably going through the same thing. People in Bloomington normally going through the same thing. But we all have different combatants, if you will. You know, we are here in Springfield. This is the heart of politics in Illinois. So we have different issues. I'm sure Peoria, you guys have something different because of your environment. So it just depends.
Later, I spoke to Drew about his recent ordinance tickets on chalking the sidewalk in front of Aaron Schock's office in downtown Springfield. The action landed him a $100 ticket on top of a $500 fine for the cleanup that involved city workers. The action itself derived from a day of protest in support for the recent H.R. 3346 bill, which would prevent unemployment insurance from eliminating 5 million workers in January. The Springfield and Central Illinois Trades and Labor Council organized an informational picket in front of the Schock's office. Drew and JJ had chalked the sidewalk in front of Schock's office with slogans demanding the congressman to support the bill. They expected the drawing to be part of the protest. Schock's office was not too happy by the chalking, notified authorities, and washed down the sidewalk. Later on the evening, Drew and JJ rechalked the sidewalks during the protest, where they were caught and arrested by police. I asked Drew the specifics on the situation.
We targeted Schock because he's part of a group that, you know, within the U.S. Congress that was blocking H.R. 3346, which would have extended unemployment insurance benefits to 2 million Americans that would otherwise lose them on December 31st. So we felt that here in Springfield, one of the things that we could do was get out in front of Aaron Schock's office along with some of our associates in the trades and labor area, the AFL-CIO and such, the Central Illinois Trade and Labor Council, that had already decided to protest out in front of Schock's office. So one of the things that we've figured out here in Springfield, at least, is that there, at least in our opinion, the way that we read the law was that there is no violation of vandalism ordinances for chalking because it is water soluble, it's non-permanent, it doesn't damage any structures, and we also kept it on public property on the sidewalk so that the private property issue wasn't brought into it. Not that I disagree with protesting, you know, on private property. I think it was very successful during the civil rights movement at the Woolworth sit-ins. I mean, that's a whole other issue. I can speak to private property and actions on private property in a bit, but with Schock's office, we stayed within the lines of staying on public property. We weren't doing anything damaging or destructive to any property. By law in Springfield, it has to be permanent, damaging, harmful, etc. And so when we reviewed the law, we found that chalking was not illegal. Chalking was not a crime. And we have been chalking in front of other establishments like Chase Bank, U.S. Bank, and we even chalked in front of Aaron Schock's office before, but we had never targeted Schock as somebody that the messages would be sent to.
Drew continued to tell in detail about the day that he and JJ were arrested by the police for chalking outside Aaron Schock's office.
So the day began with me chalking at about 2 o'clock, just a message that 2 million Americans are about to lose their unemployment benefits and that he shouldn't let that happen. When I returned to the scene of the chalking at about 4:30, 4:45, it had been washed away, which disappointed me because I really wanted that to stick and to just add on to that. But since it hadn't been, we began chalking even more around his office on the sidewalk. Nothing vulgar. We had statements indicating what the bill was and what the House bill and the Senate bill that, you know, needed to be voted on. And we kept it very clean. We had a quote from Aristotle. We didn't do anything that, you know, there were no cuss words, there were no obscenities, there was nothing like that. But that too was washed away. Now, personally, I was sold on the idea that these people need to have their unemployment benefits extended. I don't think it's right to throw people out in the cold, quite literally, at Christmas time, especially when traditionally, I mean, this is the time of year when a lot of industries are, not producing much work. They're not producing many jobs. So to me, an unemployment benefits extension makes sense. It was not a long-term extension. I think right now it's still going through Congress. It offers like 2 months of unemployment benefits. And unemployment benefits are not living large. It's not a lot of money that these people are receiving. It's just enough to pay their bills, maybe keep their families fed. It's not easy being on unemployment. I know, because in my job as a seasonal worker here in Springfield, I get laid off every year, and it's always hard. It's hard to come up with all the money you'd like. It's barely enough to get by. So I thought it would be wrong to put so many people out of work or out of income, considering the fact that, in my opinion, bad financiers and loose politics have led to the situation of so many people being unemployed. Lots of people are unemployed right now that have paid into the system for many years and have contributed fairly, and now they're expecting a fair result from that. And I think not extending their unemployment benefits is wrong to do to them. So after the protest, the chalk was still... We had a city council member as well as a number of people that were protesting. We had about 30 people strong in front of Aaron Schock's office. We were not approached by Aaron Schock's office at that time or the police and told, oh, stop, this is illegal, we will arrest you, we are going to make things hard for you if you continue to chalk. They just came out and they erased it. I think it was building maintenance or something that erased the chalk. Well, an associate of mine and I, John Keating Jr., JJ, went out at about 10 o'clock and began chalking again because it had been washed off. And the same kind of things. Please, you know, support HR 3346. Don't leave all these Americans out in the cold. There's 85,000 Illinois citizens alone that would be affected by this bill. So we were chalking in the same vein that we had been earlier, and a police officer came up to us, got out of his car, and immediately said, get your hands behind your back. You're under arrest. Now, when a man with a gun tells me to do something, I'm inclined to comply, simply because he's a man with a gun that's authorized to use violence against me. So we complied, and in the time while we were handcuffed, it was determined that we were not being arrested, but we were going to be held. Not that I don't think we were any threat to run away, but they wanted to make the point that, you know, what we were doing was wrong somehow. Even though I contested that to the police officers, they didn't care to listen to it at the time. So we were handcuffed and then thrown in the back of a squad car. JJ took a picture from the back of the squad car that you can find online in a couple places. But he, you know, the officer in charge, the lieutenant, was making a real point to us that we want you to stop this. Not necessarily, I think, because of any letter of the law, but because they wanted us to stop. I suspect that Aaron Schock's office put pressure on the police department, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. We haven't gotten a FOIA back confirming that yet. So we were detained for, I want to say, about half hour. We were brought out, and we were told that we were in violation of a vandalism ordinance. As I said before, we'd already identified vandalism as being something we couldn't be guilty of for this, but at the discretion of the police officer in charge, he determined that we were. And not only that we were going to be fined extra because he felt the need to bring out a city fire truck and erase everything off of the sidewalk. So that was an extra cost incurred by the city, and therefore an extra fine to JJ and I. After that, we washed the fire trucks, wash it away. They also brought out a photographer before the fire department to photograph the quote-unquote scene of the crime. I'm not sure why they were documenting that much evidence at even more cost to the city. They also brought out two squad cars in addition to the lieutenant that had initially arrested us, and I think it was about four officers. So in total, you've got one high-ranking police officer, a lieutenant, four beat cops in their squads, and then a police photographer, and then the fire truck and their crew. And for that, we were given $500 fines.
AJ spoke about the legal situation that Occupy Springfield is doing and why they need to broaden their resources, especially with Drew and JJ's situation.
I have been taking more of a broad approach, contacting people in Carbondale, Illinois, like Rich Whitney, who is a civil rights attorney, going down there, contacting the National Lawyers Guild up in Chicago. You know, I'm trying to make it more of a broad aspect of it, because we can't just focus here in Springfield, because there's a lot of conflict of interest, because some of them are in tune with city council and with the police and everything. So we have to broaden our net more in order to bring in more resources and legally and everything. So that's what I've been doing. In fact, Drew and JJ, I've been providing them three numbers at least of attorneys that are being more willing to listen to them and what they have to say in order for hopefully pro bono representation.
Drew was wondering why, now of all times that they have chalked, they were now just being disciplined and arrested for it.
Well, there's many questions to me that why weren't we handcuffed in front of Chase Bank when we've done this? Why weren't we approached by the police before that, saying this is a clear violation of vandalism law, you guys can't do this? Why all of a sudden, when we were chalking things in front of Aaron Schock's office that were less than flattering to his voting record, why all of a sudden it became an issue for the city of Springfield? And I can only think that there was a political motivation to it, and that Aaron Schock didn't like us airing his dirty laundry.
Drew then told me something he'd like to see Occupy doing in the near future, and its tactics with demonstrating, and what American 20th century social movements were doing when they were ridiculed for standing up and fighting back against the authorities.
Yeah, I something I would like to plant a seed in occupiers' minds for is that fortune favors the bold. Boldness in action throughout history has brought around genuine change. And so while it's all good and dandy to be tactful and be reserved in some regards, to not act, I think, is a bigger mistake than to act and make a mistake, especially for young activists and young occupiers. To go out and make a mistake will give you more, as long as it's not a completely onerous mistake that leaves you with a massive fine or something of that nature. I think that occupiers need to be bold right now. They need to not back down. We have a strength of cause. It is not a strength of charisma or personality that is driving Occupy, but a strength of the cause. And I think that is our genuine strength. And so to back down from the forces that be because they say, well, we may agree that change should come, but you're being too bold, I think is ridiculous. And people out there need to remember that nothing in history that has changed has come without a struggle. And in most situations that I've seen, struggle leads to growth. So if you're an occupier and you're out there and you're wondering, should I or shouldn't I, weigh your consequences, weigh your actions, but don't back down. Keep the boldness. Boldness is what has brought Occupy to the forefront of the modern social justice movements, is because we haven't backed down. They say, don't pitch a tent. We pitch a tent. They say, you can't be here. We say, yes, we can be here. In the issue of private property things, I've heard a lot of debate go on about, well, should there be any actions or protests on private property? I think absolutely there should be. That doesn't mean indiscriminately going onto private property and making a mess and making things hard. But when you talk about private property protest, I'm reminded of the Woolworth Diner sit-ins during the civil rights actions movements, where they were considered a major problem for the businesses. A lot of people, Thurgood Marshall came out and did not support those actions, even though they were advancing the civil rights cause. That's what I'm talking about being bold. Think about it yourself. Figure it out for yourself. the people that went and sat in the Woolworth diners and said, no, it's not right that a black person cannot sit at this diner and order food just like anybody else, they were told by a lot of people, oh, that's just not the right way to go about it. That's not how you do it. But going in to make a point nonviolently and respectfully, I don't understand how, despite the boldness of those actions, how that's wrong. So I would encourage occupiers out there to remember that that's what's important right now, is to stay bold and to keep fighting, because we're not going to be given anything, we have to earn it.
That does it for today's show. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in, and remember that you can always tune in Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. and the afternoon at 2 p.m. to hear Solidarity Journal and local Peoria exposés. And if you miss the shows, you can check us out at radioforall.net and search Solidarity Journal in the archives. And don't forget to check out WAZU's website, wazufm.org. So until next time, keep up the resistance.